All right, so we're going to Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, iPhones, iPads, something, go there. Luke 15, verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. And this is the parable of the lost son, message called Coming Home. So Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share for the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Let me stop real quick. So there were two sons, and one of the sons, the youngest son, asked his father. He said, "Father, give me my share, you know, of your wealth. Whatever you were going to give me when I grow up, when I'm supposed to be, give me that. I want it now. I need to have it now, Father." And so the father divided his share and gave it to him. And see, he already had it in his mind that he was going to take off once it was given to him. And so what does it say there? That he took off. And now what happened is, it said he wasted it all and squandered living. So he was out there having a good time, partying, you know, maybe clubbing, maybe some cumbias. I don't know if they had cumbias back there. I don't know. But he was out having the best time that he thought he could have. And he was probably acting like some of these rappers, that money is just throwing them up, right? Just throw it up, you know. It's going to last forever. That's what he thought. He thought it was going to last forever. So, but it didn't. So he found himself looking for work, and all he could find was feeding the pigs. Now you got to understand something. There's something interesting here, because the pigs, okay, that was the dirtiest job that they could do, because they considered the pigs unclean. Okay, a lot of Jewish people still don't eat pigs, because to them it's unclean. So that job to him must have been very hard to do, because they consider these things unclean. So let's read. Verse 17. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And there I am starving to death. I will set out to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." So he's looking at this, and he figured out, you know what? My father, he's a wealthy man. You know, he's got a lot of servants. He's got a lot of people working for him. You know what? I'm just going to go back and ask him for forgiveness, and I'm not even worthy to be called his son no more. I'll just work. I'll just work for him. I'll be his servant. So let's read on. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." So he sees his son coming up. And while he's still far away, the father looks over and he's like, "That's my son. That's my son." And so what he does is he runs towards him. He runs towards him. He hugs him. And he's happy. Now, he could have been like so many other people say, I told you so. Yeah, I told you so. You didn't want to listen to me, but I told you so. But see, he didn't do it that way. He had compassion for him. He had love for him. So he grabbed him. And what? They had a celebration, right? He put a robe. He put a ring on his finger. Put some sandals, some chanclas. The Nike ones. And they had a fiesta. They had a celebration. Probably some carnitas asadas. Man, I'm getting hungry. Taquitos. Anyways, so they had a celebration. He was happy. His son has come back. After all this time, his son has come back. He's finally back. I haven't heard from him in a while. I haven't seen him. I don't know what he's been up to, you know. But he's come back, and I'm happy. That's what the father said. Let's read on. Meanwhile, the older son was, this is verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back, safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me anything. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because his brother, this brother of yours, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The older son looks at his, comes home, and he sees that they're having a party, they're having a fiesta, everybody's happy, and he's wondering what's going on. And so when they tell him that his brother's back, and they're celebrating, he gets angry. It's amazing, huh? He gets angry. Why did he get angry? Well, this whole time he's been working there. He's been obeying his dad. He hasn't left his dad. He's been doing good. He feels like, you know what? This is kind of messed up, right? I'm here all the time. I'm doing good. I'm doing everything that you asked me of. I'm working for you, and all of a sudden, this son, okay, he didn't even call him my brother. He said, this son of yours. So he wouldn't even acknowledge him as a brother. He said, he was out there in prostitutes, in the clubs, clubbing, whatever. And now he comes back. Now you want to throw him a party? After he wasted all your money? After he did this to us? Now it's interesting to me because that's jealousy, okay? That's jealousy. A lot of times, that's what happens with a lot of Christians. They get jealous. They see a guy come in that, and then they see him getting blessed, and they get jealous, right? They get jealous. God, I've been here doing everything that you asked me. I've been doing everything. Everything you asked for. I've been going to church. I've been doing this. And you're gonna bless him with something? Get jealous. But understand this. Look at what the father replied. He said, my son, everything that I have is yours. See, he never asked for anything. See, the brother could have had anything he wanted. He was already there. Everything in the land, everything that the father had, he said, it is yours. Why are you complaining? It's already yours, you know? So it was already his. He was complaining, but what he didn't realize is that everything the father had was already his. Everything your father has is already yours. Understand that. You don't need to complain. It's already yours. Ask for it. ask for it. See, I tell people all the time that when they pray for something or when they're praying, just begin to speak it. Begin to say it out loud. Begin to speak those words. Pray and then speak them out. Say, I'm going to receive this. That way, if your body, you're saying it in your spirit, but then your mind has to catch up with your mentality that you have because maybe your mind is not faithful enough to receive it. So you got to say it out loud. Because you got to get your whole body in contact with the Word of God. And sometimes we kind of believe some things, but then sometimes we don't. And so we got to line it up. Everything that I've accomplished, everything that God had for me, I begin to speak it. No matter how hard it is, no matter what it looks like, I begin to speak it and I receive it. Amen? Now let's go back a second. Okay, let's go back a second. Let's go way back. Because I want to get this story. I want you guys to get this. See, on verse 13, it described that the young man believed that he didn't need his father. He thought he had life all figured out. He thought he knew what would make him happy. Okay? We're talking about the young son now. We're talking about the other one. When he left, what was he saying? He's saying, you know what? I don't need you. I got this. I know what I'm doing. So he sets out. You know, probably to the big city. He's going to make it big, you know. He's going to be the next P. Diddy, the next Eminem. I don't know. He had big dreams and big visions, right? And so he's like, nah, Father, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I know what my life's about. I don't need you. So he takes off. See, that's arrogance. He was arrogant. Now, I've talked with some people that are like this. They are arrogant. I invite them to church. I said, come to church, you know. Just come and check it out, okay? If you don't like it, that's fine. You know, I can take it. Tell me you don't like it. It's fine. I hope and pray that you find something that you do like where God can reach you. I don't take offense, so it doesn't matter to me. And so I ask them, you know, come to church, just try it out. And when they give me this response, nah, I don't need to go to church. I'm good. I don't need God. I don't need your religion. I don't need your Jesus. Now, God reminds me that I was once there, okay? I was that arrogant. People used to invite me to church, and I'm like, church? Nah, not going to happen. I used to tell the pastors, when are you coming to church? Me? Never. I used to tell them straight up because I wasn't a liar, okay? That's one thing. I was a thief. I was arrogant. I was all these other things, okay? I was mean. I was crazy. Whatever. I used to fight, whatever. But I didn't lie, okay? So I used to tell them straight up to their face and say, you know what? I'm never coming to church. Don't expect me in your church because I'm never coming. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to go to church and because I'm not going to church. I don't need it. I was arrogant. See, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I had life figured out. I had dreams and goals, and I didn't know exactly what they were, but I wanted more out of life. Funny thing is that deep down inside, I was dying. Deep down inside, I was looking for happiness, satisfaction in parties and drugs and sex and all these things. I was looking for that love. Like that song said, I was looking for love, a young kid looking for love. I came from the projects. I was homeless at one time. So all these other things, I was looking for something. I was looking for some kind of meaning in life. But yet, when God was calling me, I was like, nah, I don't have time for you. See, when you chase the things of this world to make you happy, you will only find that they will only bring you destruction. You're looking for satisfaction in the things of this world, but they will only bring you destruction. Right? Like my brother was saying, he has a testimony in drugs and all this in the past. And I love hearing testimonies. I really do. And as we go along, I want you guys to share your testimonies. I really do. Because it is amazing. It still amazes to me what God can do in somebody's life. And so this young man, he went out. He was spending all his money, doing all these crazy things, and living his life, la vida loca, right? And yet, he couldn't find that satisfaction. It reminded me of a song, huh? I can't get no satisfaction. Can't get no satisfaction. You really, not in the world you can. You can't. See, the Father knew what was best for him. See, the Father represents our God, our Father. The person represents you as you were. No, God, I don't have time for you. My brother Mike, he said, you know, when I texted him yesterday and he texted me back, or his wife texted me back, I didn't practice about your music. And God told me, oh, he'll do it. I'm going to put it in his heart. I was like, all right. I text him back, no problem. Or God bless, you know, next time. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say anything. Most pastors would have been like, oh, no, Brother Mike, you told me this. You better come and you better, you know. Ain't got to do that. I don't have to do that. I got a Father and he takes care of everything that I need, everything. And so I already knew it. I was already rejoicing. I'm like, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it is. It's good. He didn't have no practice, but he was great. And he powered through. We don't have the best equipment, you know, but he powered through. And as we get bigger, as God begins to bless this place, we will have that big old stage and all those lights and whatever, you know. But God put it in his heart. And he brought it home. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming home. And so the son looked back and he saw that he didn't have no clothes anymore. He spent everybody. He spent everything, every dime that he had. And he was trying to even eat with the pigs. He's like, that food looks good. Now, it's a funny thing because you guys all know that whenever you have money around tax season or something, right? Everybody comes around like, oh, yeah, what's up, friend? I haven't seen you in a while, but hey, yeah, you want to drink some? You want to, you know, let's go out. Hey, can I have some money for gas? They all hit you up. It's funny, huh? And I'm pretty sure that this guy had a lot of friends. He had a, like they would say right now, a big posse, right, around him. His big crew, they were all partnering it up, living the lifestyle. But then when that was gone, where was he at? Where was all his friends at? That's right, he was. What about you? But I found myself being all by myself. My family abandoned me, everybody abandoned me, and I was by myself. And God was calling my heart. Now understand this. The guy walked back. He's recording it in his head. Oh, okay. I'm gonna tell him. Okay, I'm sorry, Father. You know, I don't even deserve to be called your son anymore. I'm sorry. You know, just make me a servant. Make me one of the lowest guys in your place. It's funny because when we return to God, when we finally get the calling of God, we say, Father, I'm sorry, I'm here, I'm not worthy. Now, I love it when people tell me, I can't come to church, I'm not right, you know? I love that answer. Because that's not arrogance. That's brokenhearted. They feel like they don't even deserve God's love. I love that answer. Because I could tell them, listen, I don't deserve it either. I really don't. But look at what God does. Look at what God does. It says on here that when he saw the son coming, he ran up to him. He hugged him, gave him a kiss. He was rejoicing. Understand that. He put a robe on him. He put a ring on him. He put some sandals. Okay. And then he got the fattest calf that he had and threw a party. Understand, these things are all representation of God the Father transforming his child. All these things that he did mean something. It's a transformation, okay? It's a confirmation that God is revealing to everybody in the land, look, my son has come home, and I am transforming him. Yeah, he came without a shirt. He came without sandals. Almost naked, hungry. But look at what God's doing. Okay, listen to this. It's a transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what you once were, you are no longer. I have a poem that says, not no more. It says, I once was a slave, but not no more. I once was afraid, but not no more. I once was insane, but not no more. He called on my name and said, what you once were, you are not no more. See, so check this out. The robe represents distinction. When he put that robe around him, it represents distinction. It sets him apart from everybody else because that is a special robe, a family heirloom of them that represents he is one of mine. Right? When you go to hotels, or the fancier ones, okay, not the six, whatever, eight motels. Okay? But the fancy ones, they sometimes have those robes, right? And it has a little tag in it, basically so you don't steal it, okay? It has that little tag, and it says it's theirs, right? And if you do steal it, everybody knows where you got it from. This is the same in God. He put on our robe and saying, you are mine. Just like the Father here. It represents God putting a robe on you saying, look, he is mine. So everybody knows that you belong to his family now. The ring. He put a ring on his finger. The ring represents authority. That is authority. Just like a king, he has those rings, he has the crown, he has jewelry. It represents authority. So when he put that ring on his finger, that means I've given you authority over the land. When you came to God, he put a robe on you, he put a ring on you and said, you now have authority over this life. See, I've commented to you guys that I really don't get sick, okay? And it's because I know that I have authority. When my kids get sick, I pray over them and with authority. Not because of my might, but because of Jesus his authority, by his power, by his authority, I can rebuke any disease. I can pray over my kids and it must have to leave. Just like any demonic force or anything. In the name of Jesus. Now, I was, this week, I was working. And while I was working, I had a blowout on my 18-wheeler. I was just cruising along. It was at nighttime, so it was dark. It was quiet. I was like, boom! Oh, whoa! Okay. I had a blowout. They called the repair guy. Okay, they called the repair guy. And as we got to talking, this is about 2 in the morning. Okay? It's now 2 in the morning. He's repairing my tire. We got to talking. And I took this as, God, you're doing something. I don't not know what it is, okay? But you're doing something. Okay? This is not a coincidence. So we started talking, and we were just talking about a couple things. And then he told me, oh, yeah, you know, he mentioned his wife. And God said, ask him about his wife. I said, you sure, God? Because he's done. I want to get out of here. You know? And he's like, ask him about his wife. I said, all right, cool. So I asked him about his wife. Now he starts telling me that his wife has cancer and she needs lung transplants. Just all these things that is wrong. And I can see his sadness and his worriness. And so I talked to him for a minute and I began to pray. And I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, can we pray? He said, yeah, that's fine. I started praying for him. Now, I don't know this guy. I just met this guy. As I started praying for him, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I'm just praying. And I just barely, lightly, I had my hand on him, okay? And as I was praying, I felt this. Bam! Just something hit him. Okay? Something just hit him, powerful, right on his shoulder. He went down like that. And it wasn't me, because I just barely had my hand on him, because I don't know what the guy feels comfortable with. You know, he just barely knows me. So I'm just giving him a space, you know. He's probably thinking, this guy's crazy. What is he doing? And as that hit him, he looked up like, hey, what's going on, you know? It was the power of God, and he felt it. And I said, God can make miracles. God can create everything, and he can do a miracle. So I prayed for peace, and I prayed for his wife and everything. But we never know what God is doing. We never know what God is doing. Anywhere. The Bible says you got to be ready at all times for anything. And so as I was saying, that is authority. God has given me that authority. God has given every one of his children authority over this life, over sickness, over things that come against you. He's given you authority. And it is powerful. Understand that. It is powerful. When God gives you authority, he doesn't give it to you just like your boss gives you. Okay, you can go over there. No. He gives you authority. Everything that Jesus did, he said, you can do it in my name. What did he do? He healed the sick. He did all kinds of stuff. He raised the dead. So the father was putting that ring. He gave him authority. The sandals. Sandals back in those days were only given to family members. The slaves went barefooted. You guys ain't getting it. You guys ain't getting it. See, I once was a slave, but not no more. God is saying, you once were a slave, but you are not no more. He's putting some sandals on you. You are not a slave to sin no more. You are not a slave to the devil no more. You are not a slave no more. You are set apart by God, given authority, and free from the life of sin. Somebody clap or something. All these lights are going off. No, I'm saying because of the lights. I feel the lights going off. This place is like, oh, they're quiet. They're not even moving around. Either that or the rapture's happening. Grab on. So, you were a slave, but not no more. The calf was for a feast, for a celebration. Understand that when you come to Christ, when God calls you, when you come, he celebrates. There's a celebration. Read a verse right before Luke 10. If you go there real quick. Luke 10, it says, Luke 15, verse 10, I mean. So it's right there. We started at verse 11, just one verse up. It says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's you. When you first gave your life back to Christ, when you first stepped in here and said, God, I am here. Guess what? The whole heaven was rejoicing. God was celebrating. Everybody in heaven were rejoicing. They were having a party because of just one person. That's you that came back to Christ. Everywhere. That's amazing to me. That is amazing to me. How God would make a celebration over one person. One person. Amen? When you come to God, he sets you apart. He gives you authority. You are no longer slave to sin. You are no longer dead, but you are alive. You are now God's family. And there must be a celebration. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. See, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. Let me say that again. When you come to God, he sets you apart, gives you authority. You are no longer slave to sin. You are no longer dead, but you are alive. You are now in God's family. And there's a celebration. That's powerful. That's powerful. That is powerful right there. Thank you, Jesus. See, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve his love. I didn't deserve all these things. I don't deserve his authority. I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his robe. I don't deserve all these things. I was mean to God's people. I was cruel. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. I said, nah, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I got this on my own. And everybody else could have been like, if we had a wrong God or an awful God, he would have been like, no, you know what? You didn't want me, I don't want you either. Right? Family members do that sometimes. Right? Yeah. People turn their backs on you. And sometimes you do them wrong. And you know what? Sometimes they might say, well, I'm in the right because they did me wrong. But the amazing part about God is that he forgives. He forgives. He has compassion for you. No matter what things you have done in this life, he has compassion. And he welcomes you back with open arms and says, you were once slave, you were once dead, but now you are alive in me. Now you begin to live. Let me show you life and life more abundantly now. How it was supposed to be. All those things that you were looking for love, all those things that you were looking for satisfaction, all those things in the world, drugs, liquor, whatever, all those things are nothing compared to God's love and what he can do in your life. Nothing. I used to drink, and I, like I told you guys before, I used to drink, but I didn't drink beer. I drank alcohol. I said, I was always very crazy and doing whatever I did, I would go all in. All in. That's why I'm all in God now. Understand that. I went all in. And so when I used to drink hard liquor and take it all down. And so when I came to God, all those things, understand this. Understand this. When you come to God, all those things, that same spirit within you that you were doing, turn it around and use it for God. If I did anything back in the day, I went all in. If I was going dancing, I danced all night. If I was going drinking, I drank. Okay. If I was going to fight, I was ready to die. I was ready to kill people. And now that I came to God, I said, God, I'm all in. Because he showed me love, he turned my life around, and he gave me satisfaction. And so I'm all in. See, we are like a puzzle. My daughter has these puzzles, and sometimes the puzzles get mixed up because she has so many of them. And so sometimes she gets down to the final piece. So she puts all the puzzles, and she gets down to the final piece, and there's a piece missing. And so she begins to look around because she has a bunch of different puzzles. And so she grabs one, puts it on there, doesn't fit. She tries to jam it. She's 4 years old. Tries to jam it on there. She goes, Daddy, does this fit? Like, no, baby, that's not it. So she grabs another one. Tries to jam it in there. She pushes it in there. Is this it? Nah, baby, that's not it. See, our life is like that puzzle. You can try to jam it with drugs, sex, alcohol, all these things in the world, weed, whatever. Whatever makes you temporary high. Because they're all just a temporary high, satisfaction. Okay? But you will never find a full satisfaction unless you have God. God is that final piece that needs to fit in your life. That's it. God is. This man was looking for all those things and something that didn't fit. Look at it in cars and money and all these things. Try to get satisfaction. But it doesn't fit. Nothing fits. You will always have that void in your heart until you receive Jesus Christ in your life. You will always have. Now, people might put a great smile and say, oh, I'm fine, I'm whatever. But deep down inside, I know they're hurting. And deep down inside, we were born, we were created for God to fit in our lives. And without him, we'll always be missing that final piece. Amen? So with closing, so let me ask you a question. Are you ready to come home? Are you tired of chasing that temporary high? Only Jesus can satisfy your life. Amen? Let's stand up real quick. See? God is calling you, and maybe, you know, maybe this is the first time here, maybe this is the first time you've gone to church in a long time, or maybe you've been coming to church, and it's fine, and understand that all these things that God has been saying today, all these things, if you've been coming faithfully, if you've been here, if you've been listening to God's word, don't complain. Receive what God has for you. Understand that. Receive what God has for you. Everything that God has is yours. You just need to get aligned with God. you need a better relationship with God. Talk to him every day. Not just a Sunday, but every day. Talk with him. He wants to hear from you. He doesn't want to be like that father just seeing his son in a very long time. No, he wants to see you every day. Every day is a celebration that you're alive. Every day he wants to talk to you. Pray to him every day. Talk to him every day. What are your needs? First, your needs. Understand that. Not your wants, but first your needs. And then he will provide your wants. If you align with him. See, like Mike this morning, sometimes what we don't understand is we want to do what we want to do. But sometimes God wants to do something in us or through us. We are the miracles of this world. Just like I prayed for that brother with his wife. I was that miracle in his life. He was calling out to God. He was praying for a miracle. He was praying for something, for a sign. And God sent him me. And I had to be obedient and faithful to God so I could be his miracle in his life. Can we do that? Can we do that in this world? You are disciples. You are disciples. Don't say, oh, you know what, Pastor? I'm not good enough. I'm just not good. You know what? Neither was this son. He wasn't good. But it doesn't matter because God received him. And he clothed him with authority. He set him apart. He said, you are mine. God is saying today, you are mine. I've called you. You are mine. And I can do great things in your life. Come home.